Thank you, brother. And thank you, thank you. Actually, this is a very fine hour to be among the warrior to fight the sleepy waves that coming at us. After having a good meal, you have to fight, you know, all the things that came upon you. So I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, can work through our sleepiness because He's powerful. So let us pray and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help us for this hour or hour and 30 minutes to stay awake. So let us pray. Father, thank you for everything in life. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that is our wonderful helper. In real life of a gym, He is the heavy lifter champion. So can make us, enable us to stand. Otherwise, we are like a wall of Jericho, cannot stand. So Father, thank you. So far, Father, we have learned so much truth through your servant, Brother Gene and Ron, and you have blessed us with so much ammunition in our soul to stand firm in the gap. So Father, bless and give me wisdom and use this hour for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been learning wonderful truth about standing in the gap. And I was thinking and I was wondering, I say, you know, it's very helpful when we read the Word of God and have a picture. What is, you know, the display that Ezekiel had in his mind that God is seeking or searching? So I was looking up on the internet and I found this photo. And for the title with a question mark, the Lord is searching. Who will stand in the gap? And then I put a phrase, most wanted man. When we have a need, we need someone to fulfill that need. And God was looking at that time of period in the history where man was wanted for the jobs need to be done. So I was thinking, I said, you know, Lord, help me to, after, you know, hearing Pastor Gene and then Ron, and probably I was thinking maybe we will learn more from the ladies what they are doing, but thank God we had Man Cave with men to learn and, you know, talk about God's Word. And as Pastor Gene and Ron already did a fine job, I said, do I still have to stand up? And I said, yeah, that is the mandate from God. Stand in the gap. So it's a beautiful picture, and we are all most wanted men on the land. And that's what God was desiring. So I want to go to our passage, which is Ezekiel 20:22-30. And I want to just, you know, go through some passages that God, the Holy Spirit, have put it in my heart to share with some question, concerns, and what was going on in the time that passage was written. So Ezekiel 22:30 says, I searched for a man among them. It's talking about many people, not a single person, who would build upon the wall and stand in the gap. That is a big question, or million-dollar question for every believer. What is your gap? And that's the only gap that any individual can fulfill for the personal calling of Jesus Christ on our life. And he said, before me, for the land, not for themselves, because we will see some passages that they were in the business of God for themselves. And we will see a beautiful picture, or let's say ugly picture, in the time that prophet Ezekiel had to say some brutal stuff in their status as they were living And I was talking to Pastor Gene. It is a beautiful or ugliest picture right now in the politician in the United States. They are standing in the land or stand before God for me. They were standing for themselves. And God said, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. God is in the business of wanted men, and there was no one for the job. Even Ezekiel himself is writing a beautiful God's truth. He is the man of hour, but you know, a qualified teacher, leader cannot be effective when people have denied God's truth. He was qualified. Jeremiah, as Pastor Gene says, or Nehemiah, they were all qualified. They have done everything they can do, but the people have hardened their heart to God's word. And I want to share some backgrounds behind the reason why God is wanted. I want to have a wanted man to stand in the gap. The sins of the priest, the sins of princes, and the sins of prophet of Israel. So there's a three group, I will say four groups, with everyone start with the letter P. And first we see the prophets. It mentioned in Ezekiel 22:26, he said, our priests have done violation or violence to my law and profane my holy things. They have done everything what God have told them, the opposite. They were doing everything that was right in their own eyes. Then we see the princes. Princes, her princes within her like a wolf tearing the prey. They are ready to kill for any reason. And that is Ezekiel 22:27. And then the third group he mentioned, her prophets. They were not non-profit. They were in the prophet's business for their own profit and gain. And he said, the prophets have seen false visions and divine lies for them. They were speaking false truth, telling people that this is what God says, thus says the Lord, but there was their own gain. And the fourth group is talk about the people. So as goes the leader, goes the nation. And we can learn so much from these four P, and if we don't do, it will make us pee in our pants. Because we are failing. And he said, the people of the land have practiced oppression and commit robbery. Ezekiel 22:29. He explained everything that is going on in the land. And if you read chapter 22 and even chapter 23, and you will say, wow, I was thinking the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon was brutal, or, you know, very graphic with the language that he used. You will be shocked to hear what Ezekiel have to say behalf of God when he explained their nature, their greediness, their everything they were doing. And nobody wanna stand up. So the priest, princes, prophet, they gone all stray, and then people are following. They said, okay, if leader's doing that, why not? Why not? We can live the way we want it. So people went go crazy, and they were doing everything they want to do. So that was just a brief background introduction in Ezekiel time. The reason God want to have a man to stand in the breach that is already took place. We have a physical form of a breach in the book of Nehemiah, first chapter. We read he comes back to the land and he sees the gate is broken down, the wall is broken down, and the fire have consume everything, and those who have returned from the captivities. And he said, you know, this is the condition and the first thing Prophet Nehemiah do. He just fall on his face and start crying out to God. And he said, you know, the gap is there. The wall is broken and no one is there to build. And that is a physical form of in their spiritual condition was going on in Jerusalem. Later on, he goes to before the king and trying to, you know, do his duty as a servant to pour the wine, and his face is just completely, he lost his joy. He's so sad. He's been crying out to the God of heaven. If we read the first chapter, and he's just pouring out and even giving thanks to God and confessing his sins and for his forefather, and he's just going on, and you can see the sorrow on his face. And the king sees him while he's pouring the drink or something going on. He said, you're not sick. Your face showing that you have something going on, I'm paraphrasing, but you are not sick. Beside that is not the sickness, there's something going on in your heart. And he said, my people, my city, everything is broken down. In the time of Nehemiah, God was looking for someone to build up the wall that was a physical. In the time of Ezekiel, he was looking for someone to stand in that gap that all the spiritual things that was destroyed to be the man of the hour. So that's going on, and I think we can identify with them. The most important truth, if we can talk about and think about it, in these three groups. I was studying under Pastor Gene, and he led me to this very simple truth. Three simple Greek words, but have so much to application in the time of Ezekiel and in our personal life. So the first word is ethos. And when we see ethos, then the next step is come pathos. And after pathos is come logos. And in three groups, if we divided the priest, their character was completely gone south. Completely. They had no characters, because the word ethos stands for the character. In their integrity, there was no integrity left. As Prophet Ezekiel said, the priests have done violence to my law, and they did everything to profane my holy commandments and things that was set aside to live life. So their characters, their integrity completely gone. And that's what next come the princes. Compassion, they have no compassion. They completely are cold-hearted killers. As Prophet says, the princes with her like a wolf. No mercy. No mercy to kill, like a tearing apart whatever comes in their way. They are without compassion. And the third thing we see, the logos come from a logic. The prophets have lost their mind. They lost their logic. They lost the word. The Old Testament, the word of God was the statue to their souls. As a psalmist says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a light to my path. They completely gone dark. And he said, the prophet have seen false vision. Why? They divided or depart from the logos, the word became flesh. They have completely isolated. And that's the three words we see. And these are the three people's category. No integrity, no compassion. And when you have no integrity, no compassion, there's no logic. Beautiful picture of right now in many, many way, our politicians have no integrity. have no compassion for the people, and have no logic. Welcome to 2022. And I will say absolute power, corrupt, absolute. They had power. They were the mouth and the hand, the feet of God. And when they were seen completely corrupted, people said, we will do the same. So most important thing we can, you know, learn from these three words for personal spiritual examination. If we investigate our conscious in a few moments of silence, we will come to this truth. We are all looking for something. Something. Some for love, some for job, house, good life, become a famous, how to be faithful husband or wife, how to complete my degree, or how to reconcile with an angry friend or relative that you made him mad because you mentioned the name of Jesus. Or, other reasons that we are looking for something. We are looking for something and we can see, but God is looking for a business. A business partner can do as a work partner to do the God's will. So God is in the business of changing history, and a lot of people do not want to go through that. So before we went to talk about prince, priest, and prophet, God is looking. God is looking a wanted man to stand in the gap. So first Adam was, if we carefully study the life of first Adam, he, was a priest as a husband, to stand before the throne of God and have a personal communication with God so he can lead his wife Eve and later on his children. So the priest. And then he was a prince as he was commanded to take over all the animals and everything and do what you command to do. And that is a picture of a priest. A prince, sorry. And prince mean, if we look at the three words for priest, prince, and prophet in Hebrew language, a prophet is a priest is the one that who stand between people and God and get the word of God and lead them. He's a spiritual leader. And prince is the one in the daily affairs of life, in a state level or family level or domestic level. He is as a judge or ruler, and that's the word we find in the Hebrew, and Adam was doing that. And as a prophet, his life portrayed for the second coming of Christ, because if we look at in Genesis 4, and his son died, and then he had another son on his own likeness, which is, he was without sin nature, but the one that was born with sin nature. And there you go, we have a prophecy that there's one who's gonna be the next one without sin nature, who's Christ. So he was playing those three roles in many capacities. So the second Adam comes in, which is Jesus Christ. He was and is a priest. Right now he's doing a prayer for us 24/7 at the right hand of God as his priestly duty. And he is a perfect one to go between man and God as a mediator. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 2 somewhere. He said he is the one that is between man and God to mediate. And then he's a prince. According to Isaiah, he said his name is Almighty and Wonderful and the Prince of Peace. Ultimately, he is the King of Kings. But in a sense, he's a prince of peace. He take all the broken pieces and turn into a perfect peace in our soul. He is a prince of peace to reconcile our relationship with God. Then he's a prophet, as Moses talked about, you know, there will be a prophet among the brethren like me. And it's a specific prophecy about Jesus. And I think I was studying and talking, there's so many prophecies that Jesus has spoken, and some of them, or a lot of them, have come true, and some of them will come true. So that's the second Adam, and now we have a third Adam, which is the new Adam. Now we come in the picture as a priest. According to 1 Peter 2:9, we are royal priest. A generation or a nation that's set aside for godly duties. So we are individual as a priest to take our family, as Joshua talked about. He said, for me and for my household, I will serve the Lord. So it's our responsibility to be stand in the gap as a priest to represent our own family. And then we are prince. Like my wife was telling the ladies, she called me a little lord. So I said, that's a heavy title. It's a heavy champion medal title, because when your wife calls you lord, it comes a lot of weight on your shoulder. As a prince, as a lord, you have a responsibility not only to clothe her, to protect her, but also take care of so many degrees in an emotional and a spiritual way. And then we are as a prophet. Often people, little bit, you know, go into their shocking mood, and they said, how can you say that you're a prophet? I said, yes, I am a prophet. I said, in United States, I'm a non-profit organization, and as a biblical sense, I'm a prophet. And I said, your prophecy will fail, mine not. Because you will talk about, you know, hey, I'm prophesying you are wearing that kind of shirt under your pants, or that kind of panty, this and that. I said, my prophecy is nothing like that. I said, my prophecy is, in the Bible, there's a 31,173 passages, and among that, the top prophecy is John 3:16. For your eternal doom and for your eternal rescue plan. If you believe right now in Jesus Christ, I can prophesy that you are saved forever. Nobody can change that. I said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that is the condition. I said, that's a prophecy. As a non-prophet, I'm making a prophecy. So we are prophet in that sense when we talk about the Word of God. Especially John 3:16 are the powerful prophecy to sell someone their future, where they're going, or if they will be in a non-smoking room or smoking room. Choice is there. So God is looking. God Almighty is searching for man or woman to stand in the gap. And sometimes we want to not stand in the gap, but we want to stay in the crab. I said crab. I was typing, and my software said, that could be inappropriate to the reader of your documents. Are you saying crab or crab? I said, both. So standing in the gap or in crab. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we go there. And we have to make a choice like Abraham. He wake up morning and he had to make a choice. What was the place? The Bethel or Ai? The Bethel or Ai. He had to make a choice if he will go to the house of God, which is Bethel, the presence of God, AI. or AI. Okay. I was saying in Urdu, okay. AI. And that is a heap of dung. The crab place, the bathroom. Where's all the doo-doo goes there. He had a choice to make a stand. Where he will be, in the presence of Almighty or in the doo-doo list. So God is searching, and I was just looking, and I said, oh, Abraham was searching for his wife, for his son Isaac. His servant found it. Genesis 24:5 and 51. He found it what he was looking. Jacob was seeking a blessing for the firstborn son. He deceived his father and he got his wishes granted. Genesis 27 to 27, verse 29. And then we see the king Saul, or king of Egypt, was searching for a wise man and he found Joseph. He was the God sent man to stand in the gap for to give wise counsel to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. On the other hand, King Saul was looking for skill master to play a harp, and he found David. This is a wonderful passage, and if we have time, we can talk about. And this is the only incidents we find in the Old Testament. I will say not the possession. He was not possessed by the evil spirit. He was oppressed. And that is a beautiful picture. Once you are a child of God, it's a beautiful photo. Even they have a temporary indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Time to time in the Old Testament, the demons could not rest there for rest of their life. So whenever that bad spirits come and bother Saul, he said, I need someone who can, you know, play Hawaiian. That's a joke. So I'm sitting on the, you know, beach, and the bad spirits goes away. So here we see Saul king is looking for someone, and he found David to calm his soul. King Nebuchadnezzar was seeking interpretation of his dream, and he passed the decree. He said, all the magician, all the witchcraft, everyone who's been trained the wisdom of Babylonian literature and everything, find that person and bring it to me. I want interpretation for my dream. Before he execute everybody, he find Daniel. Daniel interpreted his dream and tell him what God is speaking. And in the short term, Magi was searching for a newborn king in Israel, or king of Israel. They found Jesus. So my point is, the main truth, we are looking for something, and we are in some time, some way, in some capacity, find the answers. But the question is, Almighty God is looking for someone. And I can say, as we are sitting here, we are the wanted man. We are the most wanted man, and the question is how we will answer. Lord says, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, as they are talking, here I am. Send me. The call of God is sometime by name, and most of time is open call of duty. Isaiah didn't say, okay, I hear you, send him. He didn't say that. He said, I listen, send me. And I think God, the Holy Spirit, speaks in our soul, whatever capacity and whatever the gap we want to go, and it's up to us. If you are listening to his voice, to be a watchman in the gap. Watchman is another beautiful picture of a protector of the city and giving the warning the people who are living inside, hey, the threat's coming, the enemy is coming, the problem is coming, buckle up, get out of your donkeys and get suit up and go on horses. Watchman standing in the gap. When prophet Isaiah heard the calling of God, he answered, here am I, send me. Depend on us how we will answer, or we will answer. So that's the question that's going on. Do you know what is your gap? By the age of 16, when I became a believer from a Hindu background, practicing demonism and being a craftsman for my grandfather and doing all kind of dark demonic things, When I accepted Christ, my first desire was, Lord, I want to know more about you. That whom I have trusted, I never desired, because in my fourth generation, if there was anybody, there was a priest for Satan. If they were prophet, they were for Satan. If they were man in authority, they were for all for Satan. In my fourth generation, I can go back. No one ever built anything for God beside the demons and satanic powers. When I became a believer, I was not even ready. And I was praying for 5 years, Lord, if there's anyone can help me to understand this big book with a lot of writing, a lot of prediction, a lot of suspicion, and how can I understand, if there's anyone on this earth, please send it to me or guide me to him so I can learn. 5 years later, God sent Pastor Gene to a room like that. It was hot like a hell. And I heard he's coming, and I was Mary by the time, and Carrie told me, she said, you need to go and see Pastor Gene. I said, okay. I made the choice. I went, and he answered my prayer, because that was the emptiness in my soul that need to be fulfilled. And ever since that, this big book became a more fascinating, adventurous book to be more and more dig into and learn. And he have done a great job from past 10, 12 years to giving me a tool to learn more and more. So I had no clue about what is my gap. Especially I was very shy to even stand out before anybody. And God said, you go on. Choice is your, on your knee, on your crawling, or you want to stand. So thank God, I realized, I said, everybody firstborn have served Satan in many, many way. Why not give a shot and accept God's calling in my life? And I start learning, and it just so happened. People start asking questions, and it draw me back to the book, and I start looking for the answer and going back. Okay, have one more. And all of a sudden, I found out myself with many, many young men who want to learn the Bible. And then from there, it's just on and on. So I had no clue about my gift. Even I had no idea if a pastor or teacher gift even was existing by the time I became a believer. If you know your gift, do it. If you don't know, keep doing whatever you're doing for the Lord. So to me, the gap is your vocation to be a priest or slash servant to your family before God, or a prince as a leader in your church, neighborhood, and to your family, and a prophet as a minister, not the TV prophet, you know, hey, if you buy my book and you will get 10,000 next hour or something. If you hear some kind of deal, say, okay, I will do it, and then sue him. And maybe you will get a $10,000 from him. To lost and dying and demonic world, to your world, to your family and others, to be hands and feet of Jesus. I was in Pakistan, and the guy from other side of this world, Canada, somehow find my number, and he said, we have some needs. We've been looking for a man can fulfill that. And I said, can you a little bit elaborate? What does that mean? Oh, we've been contacting the bishops and the priest and the big dogs in Pakistan for this job. I said, what is this job? You want to kill somebody? He said, no, it's a rescue mission. I said, what is that? Oh, everybody said no. I said, thank you, kind sir. In your Canadian accent, can you briefly tell me what is the job? So finally he said, you know, we have a lot of people fleeing from a country that is in danger, and a lot have been killed, family member, this and that. So can you be hands and feet of Jesus? He said, I asked so many and nobody want to take that risk and danger. So I have heard from United States that you can do it. I said, I can't do it, but you put in a, such a romantic phrase to be a feet and hands of Jesus. How can I say no? So I end up doing that responsibility, and it's growing and growing. So we need to be hands and feet of Jesus in our daily life, whatever way we can. And I think the next is a Bible class intermission. I think our time is done, or how many minutes we have?
We have 3:30.
So it's 2:30 in Arizona. Okay. So it's 2:30. So we still have a
hour.
Okay. Hour, and I just designed my slide that way. I was thinking to do 30 minutes and then we can talk about question and answer. So I break my promise. It's already 36 minutes. I'm 6 minutes late. Yikes. So if we wanna take a break, or you wanna guys do something, or we can have a question and answer, we don't have to go and disturb ladies.
No.
Maybe off the record, we can talk about some stuff.
Yeah, off the record.